This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The 9-12 Orioles face the 9-13 Nationals tonight. First of three at Nats Park. And joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline covers the Nats for Masson. It's Mark Zuckerman. And Mark, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So the Nats so far, the Orioles has been a bit of a struggle and a disappointment so far. But from a Nats perspective, the season so far, other than James Wood, what have you really liked about the Nats so far?
Hey, guys. I think really the thing that stands out so far is the starting pitching, which they had some hopes for coming in, but maybe didn't know it was going to be quite this good. Mackenzie Gore has been dominant a couple of times. The other times out, not as much. Mitchell Parker, who goes tonight, has been their most consistent starter with an ERA under 2 and averaging more than 6 innings per start. Jake Irvin has been good as well. They've needed it because the bullpen's been a disaster, and so they need as many innings as they can get from the starters. But that's probably been the most pleasant surprise, along with obviously James Wood has just gotten off to a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Wood is so much more comfortable now, and that probably bore itself out the most obvious fashion right when they moved him to the leadoff spot, and then he's having 6-7 pitch at-bats and launching 430-foot opposite field bombs.
Yeah, and it's funny, Jason, because that wasn't necessarily the plan. C.J. Abrams is the leadoff hitter, but when he went on the IL about 10 days ago, they decided, hey, let's put the big guy up there and see how he does. And he's really done well with it. And for a young kid, he has a good eye at the plate. He's very patient, so he's not afraid to work the count and get the 2 strikes, but then still has the ability, as you said, to hit it 450 feet and lead off a game with a home run, which he's done a couple of times so far. So I'll be interested. CJ's on a rehab assignment tonight in Harrisburg. I don't know if he's going to need 1 or 2 days. Maybe we'll see him before the end of the series. When he comes back, does he just automatically go to the leadoff spot, or would they actually keep Wood in that position?
Dylan Cruz got off to a really slow start, but he's currently riding a 6-game hitting streak. Do you see him starting to get out of this slump?
Yeah, and I think everybody felt like it was a matter of time. You don't get drafted number 2 in the country and really would have been number 1 if not for his LSU buddy Paul Skenes. You're not picked that high unless you have some real talent. And I know it's been a little bit of a struggle so far since he was called up late last season, but you can see the natural ability and the work ethic above all else. He's been trying hard. He was swinging at a lot of slop early on, breaking balls out of the zone. Started to get a little more under control. And when he finally homered, and he homered twice the other day in Colorado, it was a Colorado shirt, but what he did was he drove both of them to the opposite field, to right center, almost carbon copies of each other. And he said that to him is a sign that his swing is in the right place. If he's hitting the ball in that direction with authority, that's a good sign. And so they hope that he is snapping out of it now. We're going to see the real Dylan Cruz. The thing I give him a lot of credit for is no matter how bad it was at the plate, his play in right field has been outstanding. And it shows that he does have that ability to separate the two parts of his game.
We're talking with Mark Zuckerman. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Mark, you mentioned the bullpen, and Kyle Finnegan's had a nice start to the year, but what's the problem with the rest of the pen? Obviously, this has not gone as planned.
No, not even close. They're not throwing strikes. It begins with that. Their walk rates are just insanely high. And when they're not walking guys, they're giving up hits. And, you know, they did not spend a lot of money this winter on anything, but especially in the bullpen. And they tried to go cheap. Your old buddy Jorge Lopez, he's mm-hmm. not been very good. Lucas Sims, who's been around for a while, but has always kind of been erratic. You know, they spent $3 million bucks on each of them, and it hasn't worked so far. Colin Poche, who you see with the Rays, they brought him in. He hasn't been able to throw strikes, and so it just kind of compounds on itself. And, you know, the other day we're in Denver. They're up 12-2 in the seventh inning. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is comfortable. And deep down you kind of knew maybe not, and sure enough, Finnegan has to come in and pitch the ninth and strand the tying runner at third to make it a 12-11 win. That's unfortunately where they've been. They've got to figure it out. I think one of these nights, I think Davey Martinez is going to have to start using some of his younger guys in higher leverage spots. Maybe it'll happen this week with Cole Henry and Jackson Rutledge, because eventually you can't just keep putting veterans out there if they're not performing.
Yeah, well, hey, try $15 million Charlie. You think you got problems. Try $15 million Charlie Morton, brother. Be thankful he's not pitching in this series, so hopefully there's no five-hour games. Mackenzie Gore was obviously a top prospect when they acquired him. He's someone who projected and profiled as a potential ace. He has, you know, been really good for them, obviously, but this year dominant, and the strikeout totals continue to soar. What's allowed him to sort of elevate things, Mark?
It's consistency is really the big thing. You look back last year, his good starts were off the charts good. Mm-hmm. The problem is his bad starts were off the charts bad. And he would have this habit of, once things start to kind of spiral on him, let it get out of control, and pitch counts would get really high. And all of a sudden, you know, he can't get out of the fifth inning because he's already up to 100 pitches. So far, it's early, but so far, he's done a much better job of limiting the damage. So even in a couple of games where he hasn't maybe been at his absolute best, he's still finding a way to get through it, get at least through five, if not get to the sixth inning. And it's really just maturity and experience, I think. He has the mindset to want to be the number one guy. He's got the stuff, obviously, as well. It's just a matter now of kind of controlling those emotions and learning how, on the nights when you maybe aren't at your best, can you still put in a decent start, give up three runs instead of mm-hmm. six? And I think that's the biggest step, at least so far, that he's been able to take.
Mark, you said earlier that Mitchell Parker is on the mound tonight for the Nats, has been the Nats' most consistent starter. This is just his second full season in the big leagues. What has led him to this type of success?
The difference there, he is consistent. And while he may not blow you away, and this is not a high draft pick, a highly touted prospect, they called him up last year because they had to when Josiah Gray got hurt. He made his major league debut at Dodger Stadium on Jackie Robinson Day, and the first three hitters he has to face are Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. And he got through that and got the win and became the Nats' first rookie starter to win his major league debut since a guy named Steven Strasburg. Huh. So that tells you how long it had been for somebody to do that. And, you know, again, you're going to watch him and you're going to say there's nothing spectacular about him. He mostly throws fastballs up in the zone and a splitter changeup down in the zone, but he's got poise and he doesn't show any emotion one way or the other. And I think that's done well for him. And he had to earn the spot this spring. They, in theory, had a competition for the fifth spot in the rotation and he won it. And he's just taken off since then and has given them at least six innings in every single start. And that's really all you can ask for out of a young guy like that.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Orioles can't hit left-handed pitching like at all. So that bodes in his favor this evening as well.
Well, the Nationals will hope that holds true, and then we'll see. They do have one good lefty in the bullpen, Ferrer. Maybe he gets some extra work tonight too.
We were having a little debate earlier. Obviously, Masson is not going to be broadcasting both these teams into the future, and who knows what if the Nats are going to Monumental or whatever. I still think we will call this series, because it's going to continue as a regional series, the Masson Cup, even if the Nats games are not on Masson. Nah. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you, Tim. No. Mark, would you agree with me that that's what the series will be called, or do you have other ideas?
Battle of the Beltways.
Well, I think it depends. While I'm a Masson employee still, I'll say yes, and then we'll see what happens after this. I mean, I think a lot of people do refer to it as the Battle of the Beltways more so, and it's been... Look, the players, it doesn't really mean much of anything to them, but it's fine if that's the case. If it means something to the fans, and you got a lot of Oriole fans who, you know, grew up and still live closer to D.C. than Baltimore, and this is their best chance to come see the team, it makes for a good environment. And it's been nice to see over the years more Nats fans make the trip up to Baltimore as well. And maybe not as much since they started losing, but in their heyday there, 5-6 years ago, there were a good number of Nats fans there. So if it means something to the fans, then that's great. That's fine, even if the players don't. I'd still love to see it. We maybe only had it once or twice there where both teams were contending at the same time. I'd like to see that again and maybe have a later in the season matchup and see what that could do, because, you know, when you're playing in April, it's hard to really get that worked up about it.
Orioles and Nationals start a three-game series tonight, 6:45, first pitch. Mark Zuckerman covers the Nats for Mass. And Mark, thank you as always, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We'll come back at the text of the day, preview tomorrow show, and get you ready for Boardy and the Bone. It's Baltimore baseball tonight at 5:30.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan. We're just moments away from another award-winning edition of Baltimore Baseball
Boardy's
Tonight.
Been here since noon.
Yes, Boardy and the Bone. Yeah. I think he's got a bed in one of these
rooms. There's a secret room.
Yeah, he's here more than we are, basically.
He's prepared, man.
Yeah.
He's prepared.
He's no real Hall of
Famer. Should we steal his thunder and tell the story? No, we shouldn't.
No.
About the story that he told us?
Yeah.
Because I think that might be part of his breakdown on Adley Rutschman.
Yeah,
I think
that's part of the spotlight.
Beltway Ben.
Part of this, he'll tell his personal story as part of that.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss it. It's a great story. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's a pretty damn good story. You're going to want to tune in.
That story's so good. I wouldn't be surprised if it also showed up in a future edition of Talking Ball with Boardy and Aloysius.
Yes.
What is it actually called?
Hardball.
Be more
ball
pod.
Bod with
be more
Aloysius.
Baseball pod.
That was convincing.
And Boardy.
He didn't. Just Google Boardy and Aloysius.
Yeah. He didn't plug the pod.
Yeah,
today.
He did not.
That's why I was trying to get it in now. Yeah. I was trying to get him a plug
there. I'll set him up there in BBT.
There you
I'll
go.
Set him up there in BBT.
Let's get the text of the day.
Jerry's going to be mad.
Text of the day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives. Driven by OarsmanCars.com, your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Eric and Towson, who says, any chance Linderbaum would be willing to take a discount to play here? Didn't sound like that when he was answering those questions.
There's always a chance. I don't know. Let's wait till the agent talks to him.
I don't know how much they're reading to what he said, but like,
he said I didn't talk to him.
This is also his first bite at the apple, too.
Here's the thing. He doesn't have to do anything. Because they either pick up that option, which now he's making $23+ million a year, and he's obviously going to negotiate off of that. Or if they don't want to pick it up, I would assume they would be trying to get something for him.
Yes.
And so they would get ahead of that and move him to a team that has so much cap space and is so desperate for somebody to come in and anchor their offensive line and don't trust themselves to draft a replacement the way the Ravens do, to come in and, you know, give them what they deem to be value for him.
Eric DaCosta has only said once that he's going to pick up a player's fifth-year option. That was Marquise Brown.
Yeah,
he declined for Hamilton and Linderbaum, so I'm guessing they're going to pick it up.
Yeah, we shall
see. He's going to pick up
Hamilton. Of course. Yeah.
But I don't think he'd want to say that like unequivocally, because then everybody would be like, well, why didn't you say it quite that way about the other guy?
Yeah.
Well, because we're going to trade the other guy, frankly.
Yeah, he learned
Have you looked at the fifth-year option number? Yeah. He's a center. Come on, guys.
Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have one Jerry Coleman.
Oh.
We go from Boardy to
what's the name of that podcast again?
Be More Baseball.
Yeah.
Be More Baseball Pod.
I'm not convinced that's actually.
We do have Baldy.
No, I'm not sure.
Well, he's going to get back. Brian Baldinger's going to join us.
If it's not tomorrow,
it's one day this week.
He's going to come on this week.
And cut from the same cloth, Ryan Ripken.
Are the Orioles fine?
Will the Orioles reach second base against the lefty?
Yeah, it's going to be a good question. And will it be by a right-handed hitter?
I would say probably not.
Yeah, because Cedric Mullins are...
And they've got more lefties in there tonight.
Yes, they do.
They're breaking trend.
Yeah.
Which is probably called for.
Because their trend hasn't worked. Hey, don't change that dial because coming up next, it's Boardy and the Bone. It's Baltimore baseball tonight, and it starts at 5:30 right here on The Fan.